Welcome to Kicking It With K-Pop, a podcast about business stories and marketing advice. I'm Jake.
And I'm Morella.
And this is episode 26, What is Branding and Why is it Important? To help us with our discussion today, we're joined by Teresa Mundala from Bella Design Studio. She is an artist and creative professional. Bella Design Studio is a virtual advertising studio. And before starting her own business, Teresa worked in advertising at an ad agency for 20 years. Teresa now helps clients with marketing, branding, and advertising. She is also an artist and an art teacher. Where should we go from there, Morella?
Well, this is kind of a big deal episode. Branding is one of those things that we often talk to people about, clients and especially local businesses. And it's one of those things that is often very, I guess, misunderstood and taken for granted, because a lot of businesses assume that, okay, just we're too small and branding doesn't really matter to us. All I need to do is, you know, go into Word and create a little logo for myself and put that logo on a business card, and that's it. And so sometimes it's kind of like an uphill battle to convince someone that they really need to care about their branding from day one. It's just something that is huge. Regardless of your size and industry, you need to stand out. And so this is, I'm actually very, very excited about this. And
branding is very undervalued by a lot of people. And I think it's going to be an exciting episode too.
I agree. So let's talk a little bit about Teresa and how did we even meet, actually?
I think I reached out to you.
So who was the person who connected us? Was it Ashley from Greenbench or?
No, we just made that mutual connection.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is crazy. The world is such a huge and small place at the same time. So, well, I guess welcome to our little podcast and our little room here.
Thanks
for having
me. And
we're super excited to have you on. And I guess tell us a little bit about yourself and your studio and all that you do.
Well, like you mentioned, I've been in advertising for some time. Mm-hmm. I worked at an ad agency for many years and then made the transition to starting my own business. And at first started out as a freelancer, but it organically grew into a virtual studio.
Okay.
And that takes up most of my time. Mm-hmm. I work with clients locally and nationally.
Okay.
And I'm also an active artist. I've worked in many different mediums.
Wow.
Wood, metal, I've done mosaics. I painted in all mediums. And currently I'm working in ceramics.
Yeah, I creeped on your Instagram a little bit. And I saw some of the beautiful like ceramic like work that you did. I don't know if they're like cups or I'm very lowbrow when it comes to art, so I don't have all the art language. But are those like mugs or cups or vases or what are those things that you're making?
The ones that you probably saw most recently, they're what I call tumblers. And they're just smaller pieces because my price points are a little bit higher because I do surface technique on it.
Okay.
Technique called Sgraffito, and I'm also moving into kind of painting.
Okay.
So it's very time intensive. So some of my tumblers kind of reflect elements of my, I do wall pieces, large wall pieces too. So they kind of pull elements from those wall pieces. Mm. So somebody that may not be able to obtain a wall piece, they can have a smaller piece.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I was on your Instagram account and I was looking. I was like, oh man, this stuff looks pretty nice. It looks pretty professional. But Jake and I were talking about the virtual studio and we're like, what is that? So tell us what that is.
Sure. So when I first started my business, it's been 11 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started it, it was at the time, everybody thought of an agency as a brick and mortar location, you know, big conference room, a lot of people and, you know, the agency. And I was breaking out of that boundary and developed what I call the virtual because everything's done online. And most of the time, if I meet with clients, I go to them and meet with them. So I really didn't need the expense of a brick and mortar. So I positioned myself where I was a virtual studio, so I didn't have a lot of the overhead. Mm. So I had the same quality of work as an ad agency, but my costs were less because I didn't have the overhead.
Did you ever have any difficulty convincing clients that that was a good way to do it?
Or? It took a while, but strangely enough, that's where the trend was and it started heading to. So now I've met with a lot of different agencies like myself that have started up that way. And a lot of people work remote.
So you were just a little bit ahead of the time.
Teresa's kind of a trailblazer here.
You guys said it. I wouldn't say that.
Oh my God.
What was it like to transition from working for someone else at the ad agency to having your own business?
You know what? It was perfect for me, my personality. I really liked the freedom of it. Mm-hmm. I liked the being able to work in a different environment every day if I wanted to, and being creative. That really fueled my creativity. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting in a coffee house one time and just getting inspired by somebody that was sitting there with a kid's keyboard writing music, you know, and just watching him help inspire me, whatever I was working on that day. So that's what I really like, is the flexibility.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I guess I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. Just like going to a public place and soaking up the energy from other people and seeing the environment and what's going on and kind of the mood of the situation. Mm-hmm. It can inspire. That's actually pretty cool.
Well, I've even met clients that way, oddly enough.
Really?
Yeah, because you hear people's conversations, and I've heard a couple people sometimes, I'm looking for this, and it was exactly what I do. So you just, I'd hate to interrupt, but here's my business card. Give me a call.
And so, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens a lot, actually, if all these coffee places are kind of like low-key, like networking events that like are happening. People are just there to have coffee, but really they're also there to get business. And
oh, definitely. I think even here, when I've gone to different coffee places, I've heard people planning even events that are happening here.
Mm.
So it's kind of exciting because you get like the insider scoop.
Mm. Yeah. I think there are a lot of people in St. Pete who work from home or work from like a place like the Station House. They just rent an office by the hour because they just don't want to be tied to a fixed office, and you have to come in every day. And in my past life, I worked from home for 9 months, and I personally didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It just wasn't my thing. But I was doing it wrong, I think. I wasn't going to coffee shops. I wasn't like going outside of my house. I was just sitting at home and hanging out with my fridge. And it was a terrible situation. So I had to get out of that. Do we have any other questions about Teresa's background?
Well, speaking of St. Pete, you started the business in Kansas first, right? What was it like to move, you know, locations? Probably easy since it was virtual, or?
Well, interesting enough, so I came from Kansas City, which a lot of people don't know is a very big creative hub. So a lot of entrepreneurs and creatives live and work there. So, and a lot of, it's a big ad town too. So a lot of advertising there in Kansas City. And so when I decided to move to St. Pete, and I moved here for my art business, because I found a lot of my buyers are down here and the galleries that I sell from are down here. That so when I moved here, it was a little bit of a culture shock, you know, from Midwest, East Coast. There is a difference.
I'm originally from Wisconsin. And when I moved down here to Florida, it definitely was a transition. It's a little bit different here than it is there.
So you're a Midwest guy. Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
for sure.
What year did you move to St. Pete?
I moved here in 2017.
Okay. So it was still like a happening place. You didn't move here when it was dead and like.
No, but I've heard the stories.
Like dust was like rolling down Central Avenue and like all the windows were boarded. Okay, maybe it wasn't like that depressing. But like I think 2007, 8, 9, those were rough for St. Pete. That's when the economy went to you know what and people were closing their businesses down. And St. Pete was very, very lonely and empty downtown. And so you moved in at a good time, not when we were struggling to make it. So Well, that's pretty exciting, actually. So I don't, have you ever met someone who lives here and says, I hate living here?
I've only seen that online.
Okay, online.
So not in person.
Oh, you're right, on Facebook.
On Facebook, right. Comments and different things.
Yes.
You know, you hear a lot of negativity, but I think, you know, that's the place, I guess, where people put a lot of the negativity.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true. That's, you're right. You're right. I've seen negative comments online, but never heard someone say it in person.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So should we talk about branding and like... So let's get into it and talk, like, what is it? What does branding mean to you?
Well, that's a good question. I also teach a branding class for artists.
Oh. Well, we're going to learn something.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Teach us.
So part of the thing that I teach them is, so most people think of branding as just a logo.
Right.
And branding is much more.
Way, way more.
Than a logo.
Right.
Yeah, as you know. So let's talk a little bit of a logo.
Yeah.
A logo is basically, in essence, a metaphorical stamp of your business that clarifies your services or product or business in general.
Mm-hmm.
So a good logo would be something where somebody can look at just the logo, maybe never seen it before, and have a rough understanding of what your business is.
Mm-hmm.
And so the logo is maybe, you know, the first element of it, but branding is the foundation of everything you build off of. So it could be, you know, colors and fonts. It really is. Branding is a visual representation of your business, a first impression that basically invokes an emotion. So people, when they view it, they invoke emotion where, you know, let's say you look at Nike. Well, when I look at Nike, I want to go do something athletic, you know,
right.
Or it feels empowering to me.
Right.
So different brands represent, you know, different things like that.
Right. Right. And I think that people just assume that the swoosh, the Nike swoosh, immediately started communicating all of these messages and feelings and ideas that they now have of Nike. But that's not actually true. Like when it just started out, it was just a swoosh. Nike had to engage in all these practices, marketing, pretty much like promotions and practices, to build the personality and the voice and the mission and the vision behind that brand. Had they not done that, then it would just be essentially a check mark.
Exactly.
So to me, that's what branding is. It's all of the little pieces behind the scenes that you are doing to communicate to the outside world. You know, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that a lot of people just stop at the logo. Actually, they stop at the business card. They get the logo and the business card and it's like, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm branded. Is that your experience or?
The clients I tend to work with have more of an understanding of it and an appreciation for branding and the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
So normally when they pull me in, it's because they've went the different routes before where they use 99 designs, you know, for $100, you can get a logo.
Right.
And then they see that, well, I'm not getting any traction. I'm not being able to make sales or people have the wrong impression of my business.
Right.
And then they come to me and they don't, you know, how do I fix this? I just had a recent client come to me and they have this great service product that they want to roll out across the country and it hasn't gotten much traction yet. And the first thing I told them, they had an established logo and I'm like, you need a new logo. We need to rebrand you. This is not targeting who you want to target. It needs to reflect your business a little bit more. So he agreed and, you know, we're starting from scratch and rebuilding it. And every client that I've done that for. So another part of my business is I want to make sure that I get results for my clients. I want them to see return of investment.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my past clients, there's actual trackable results from doing this.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that branding is also like defining your target market and then segmenting your target market into your target audiences and saying, you know, okay, this is the person I'm talking to. This is like, what kind of conversation do I need to have with this person? What type of messages and symbols and colors are going to really resonate with that person? And a lot of people just say, well, you know, I like color pink. I just want a pink logo. But then you come to realize that pink doesn't really communicate what their business stands for. And how do you overcome convincing someone that their original idea is not really the best for their logo?
That is the hardest thing.
Right. So how does that happen?
Because a lot of times, you know, a business can be an extension of themselves.
Right.
You know, it's their baby. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, they created this business,
right,
and it's part of who they are. And so it's approaching it with empathy, mm-hmm, and, you know, giving them facts and explaining why this is the better way, mm-hmm, and showing them past examples helps to, you know, ease their mind. So they know that I have the experience and, you know, I've done this for this client or whatever. So I'm going to use an example.
Okay.
So I had this one client. It was a consignment client where they developed pop-up consignment sales for,
okay,
children's clothes,
okay,
and stuff. When they originally came to me, they had a really bad logo.
Okay.
And everything was pink.
Right. Everyone loves pink.
Yeah. Kids, pink. Right,
right.
And so I didn't rebrand them. They were really set on the logo. So sometimes in creative endeavors, you have to know when to just, you know, they're the decision makers.
Right.
So if they don't want to do it, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they stuck with the logo. I rebranded them so it was less pink, mm-hmm, more other hues, mm-hmm, and, you know, a little softer, not so in your face.
Right.
And they started seeing traction. And after a few years down the road, then they went back to the logo and they decided to redo it.
Mm.
So sometimes it takes a little seeing how other things work.
For the business or a client to trust you and say, okay, I see that you understand what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's kind of been our experience too. Usually once someone approaches us, they tell us that they love their logo. Well, I think people are in one of the two buckets. They either hate their logo or they love their logo. There's no one ever in the middle like, oh, I'm kind of okay with it.
There's the group of people that just think it doesn't matter too. Like,
right,
maybe they know their logo isn't great or perfect, but they just think it's not going to have an impact. And
yes,
they don't realize that every other thing that they do in marketing or advertising or whatever they're doing, like, it has an impact on it. Like, people are seeing that logo.
Yeah. We not long ago, we had someone approach us, wanted to rebrand. And we went through the whole exercise of, you know, we're pitching to the person, like, you know, you need a new logo, you need a slogan, you need, you know, all of these things. And the person was in love with it. And then couple days passed, the person sent us like a Word document and said, look, I created my own logo. And we're like, okay, like, what do we do here? Like, we can't.
Yeah.
That is the level of appreciation that person has for logos and branding. And like, I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah. I think at that point, either we didn't do a good enough job explaining its importance, or they just weren't going to, it just wasn't going to happen anyways.
So. Yeah. It's very crazy. I was recently reading a book. It was some type of a branding book. And in it, the author talked about how not having a logo or a brand is like being a person without a face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine like if all of us here had no faces, how would we recognize each other? I guess by voice, but then your voice is part of your branding too.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that was very interesting. So I always try to tell clients, you know, if you have no logo, no branding, your business essentially has no face.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Which I guess is a lot to swallow, especially if someone has been in business for a while and they're like, what do you mean I don't have a face? Like, I have customers, I have business, people find me. And it's like, okay, but more people could be finding you. And so it's very interesting. What is the, let's see, what else should we talk about?
I think we talked about a little bit developing a brand, but I don't know if there's anything else that we can mention there.
Yeah. Like, do you think that people can do it on their own? Like, if I'm a small cupcake shop, can I do my branding on my own, or should I always seek outside help? And I should say that I don't have any marketing or branding experience. I'm just really good at making cupcakes.
Well, thanks for clarifying. So I would say, you wouldn't hire a butcher to cut your hair.
Fact.
So the same is true in creating a logo. So there's more to creating a logo than making something look good.
Okay, true.
So colors. So I tend to explain to my clients, you know, branding is about sociology. It's about psychology. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, picking colors that evokes the emotion that is good for your brand, mm-hmm. or will entice your audience. Mm-hmm. Certain imagery or shapes are going to invoke an emotion. It's all about, it's a lot about empathy. Mm-hmm. And touching somebody in a way to motivate them to want to seek you out.
Right.
So if somebody just, so let's say you put all this money into an ad budget on Facebook and your logo's on there and your graphics and everything, which is your brand,
right,
is on there, and it's not invoking that emotion, you're not going to get a response. So your assumption may be those ad buys are bad, but really it's not. It's your brand.
Yeah. It's essentially affecting the performance of your ads, and you are assuming that you could assume that you need better ads, but really you just need a better logo.
Or more likely, you assume that Facebook isn't a good advertising platform. You
right,
stop
exactly.
advertising there
altogether,
and yes. then you've lost one of the biggest places that maybe you could be advertising because you have a misconception about what's going on with your campaign.
Exactly.
That's true. So what is your process like when someone comes to you and they're like, okay, Teresa, I'm opening the new business. I need to brand myself. So how do you explain the journey that you take them on?
Sure. That's a fun part for me because I'm, my personality type is an explorer okay. and like curiosity. So it's like my favorite part. Mm. And I do this with any level of, creative work that I do is I do the research first, mm-hmm. which not everybody does. I have a questionnaire that I ask them. I ask them a lot of questions about their business and the environment of their business. How is, you know, how's the office life? You know, how does it feel? Mm. Also good for me to understand the personality of the owner.
Okay.
And how they work, and then getting into their business, and then getting into their target audience, and then looking into their competitors mm-hmm. and seeing what they're doing and what's working for them and what's not. Mm-hmm. And then looking in the overall market in the area. You know, if they're a national client, then I need to look nationally. If
True.
They're local, I need to look locally. And then once I understand that, I start working on concepts. And I always start in black versions of concepts, and I always explain to them because any logo looks good in color.
Mm-hmm. And but the true test,
as you know, is if it's looks great in one color, mm-hmm. it's going to look excellent in color.
Right.
So I start there. We go through several rounds of revisions, and then once that black version is approved, then we move to color options, and then I provide several color options for them, and there may be some revisions there as well, and then I produce final files, and that's for print or digital, and just provide all the different file types for them.
Okay. Yeah. Do you ever find it that some people have a tough time choosing when they see something in black and white? And they want to see color before they make a decision, or?
I've had some where they really want to tell me what colors they want to choose.
Right.
And I just pull them back and, you know, focus on the black and white version. Mm-hmm. And what I've run into, they usually pick either one where they absolutely love, or there's two of them and they're not sure, but and they, you know, so then we make some tweaks or sometimes combining them in a way helps them where they really fall in love.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess we should talk about the money aspect of it. How much does it cost? And, you know, you mentioned 99 Designs or even like Upwork. Like you can go and you can buy a logo for $25. But I mean, you get what you pay for. So how much should a good logo cost?
So it depends, too, on how many concepts you want to see.
Okay.
So typically, I provide 5 to 6 concepts, and that's $1,800.
Okay.
And the reason for that is all the work that I said. It's the research.
Yeah.
It's, you know, looking into that. And also, you know, creating and concepting is just, you know, as you know, you just can't just poof, it's there.
Right. Like they don't see all of the like notes that you took, all the sketches that you did, like before you present the 5 options to them.
Yeah. So. And the 5 or 6 options, there's probably many more logos that I opted not to send them.
Right.
But they were part of the process.
Right.
I do offer, you know, lower prices for less concepts, but I don't necessarily recommend them because, you know, if I present you 3 concepts, there's a chance that it's not, you're not going to be happy with one of those and you want to see more, which I'm flexible in doing, producing less first. And if you want to need more, we can do that. But usually people go with the $1,800 because that is, you know, a really good package and typical. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems very fair for that number of concepts.
Very fair. And this is something that influences all aspects of business. So you want to spend some money on it and some time and make sure that, you know, it is what you want it to be because it will be the face of your business. So if you spend $5, you don't want people to know that you spent $5 on your logo and like you didn't really care. Like you went on Fiverr and then you paid someone $5 and they probably just. And I mean, it's even dangerous to go online and do that because they can sometimes copy someone else's logo. It
happens all the time.
And then you have a situation on your hands.
Or they've used like stuff that they bought at another website that they include in the logo that prevents it from being trademarked in the future. Like there's all kinds of, you know, caveats with stuff like that.
Yeah, I often tell them, you know, so 99 Designs, and I've run into clients quite a bit where I have gone that route and they realize that in 99 Designs, a lot of it's stock.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, clip art. And so they may not know that because, you know, they aren't looking through the stock images, but their audience may think it's, you realize that it's clip art.
And right.
That realization alone cheapens your brand.
Yeah.
And they will think of your business as cheap.
Yes. Or a copy of a copy of a copy. And so it just looks very diluted and very, you know, kind of like, well, as a customer, like I can see that you gave up. So it's one of those things like I gave up when you gave up. Like, why should I care about a business that doesn't care about themselves and doesn't care about their own image? And so I think people, it's often very tempting to get blinded by the price points. Like, oh, my God, there's $1,800, but there's $5. Like I can get like so many of these $5 logos for the $1,800. Dollars, but you have to think about the quality of the $5 logos, the amount of time you're going to spend going back and forth with someone who does a $5 logo, and the risk of, you know, encroaching on someone else's logo and breaking, you know, the law and being sued. And so I think that $1,800 is super reasonable, and you really need to, it's an investment. And like, if someone is getting married, it's like a big day in their life. It's like, oh, I want to spend $5,000 in my wedding dress. It's kind of like getting the logo. Like you want to spend some serious money on it so everyone can see how amazing your company is. And
I think this is probably a good time to transition into the benefits then.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's really what you're paying that extra money for. What are you going to get when you spend that extra money? I think we've touched on a few of them.
Yeah.
Like where it increases the value of all of the other stuff you're doing or makes it easier.
Yeah. And gives you the opportunity to kind of control your own brand, a voice and personality. You're essentially kind of a little bit in control of your destiny because you're not letting other people define your company from the outside. Mm-hmm. When someone comes to you and you go through the exploration journey and you're learning about them, I'm assuming it's kind of like a joint effort where they end up learning something about themselves during that process. You teach them that, oh, maybe this is how your customers see you, and they maybe never even thought about that. So I think it's a good kind of like self-discovery process.
Well, what I teach in my branding class is branding as a promise to your customers.
Right.
Also what they can expect from your product and services. It differentiates you from your competitors, mm-hmm. and it often triggers an emotional response. So mm-hmm. all those together help motivate your client or prospective buyers mm-hmm. to motivate them to seek you out or to, you know, go to your store or mm-hmm. look into that offer that is being presented on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Branding also. So let's say you build a website mm-hmm. or you want to do an ad campaign. Branding is part of that. It's the tone in your message. It's, you know, what's the style of, you know, how you communicate with them. Mm-hmm. Is it upbeat and friendly, or is it real polished and professional? Mm-hmm. And that really depends on your audience as well. So it really falls into all those categories of knowing how to build the rest of your brand mm-hmm. and your campaigns and messages.
Mm-hmm. So it all comes together and it tells one big story, and people know, okay, this is this product or service. This is how it's different from all of the other products and services in its space. And these are the benefits that I'm going to get by consuming this product and service. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that businesses should assume that people can just like look at their product and service and know what that promise is.
Exactly.
It's like, it's not like build it, they will come type of situation. Like, you need to put some work into it.
Well, and I feel like I need to emphasize too that it's important to be cohesive in your brand.
Right. The uniform message everywhere. Yes.
Exactly. So your logo may say something. And right. then if your tone and your message is different, it's going to be disjointed and it's not going to be a solid brand.
Yes.
So that's part of branding, is to make sure that it's cohesive and it's, you know, it keeps repeating that same message that you're trying to get through to your audience.
Yes.
And going back to Nike, and they've done that same cohesive message that now all you have to see is that mark
and you know
exactly what it is.
You know.
It evokes all those emotions because you've been, had so much repetition of it that it's just second nature now at this point.
Yeah. You know the story mm-hmm. and they tell you the story and that's what really businesses should be doing, is telling the story, not leaving it up to other people outside of the company to tell the story. And if for example, like, your business card shouldn't have a different logo from what your website has, or whatever the case, your packaging should have the same logo as your website so people can recognize it. If I see a chocolate wrapper on the street that someone inappropriately dropped, I should be able to see like, oh, okay, that is that brand. Like, I recognize it. But if you have split personalities, then you're just all over the place. It's a hot mess of a situation. Mm. So, yeah, that makes sense. I agree. Anything else we should talk about in terms of benefits or?
No, I think one other thing we like to ask everyone is maybe a little bit about how they market themselves.
Oh, yeah. Tell us how Teresa markets herself.
Yeah.
Well, so I've been in business for a very long time. So a lot of it's networking. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's word of mouth, past clients that have been happy with my work. They share it with other people looking for services of the same. Mm-hmm. I also do, you know, what I kind of did want here, you know, reach out to other marketing firms and ad agencies too, and just introduce myself, because a lot of times, you know, I find that knowing each other, we can help support each other with different things as well.
Yeah.
And then, so I don't do a lot of, you know, ad buys myself, just because from my experience, it just hasn't really worked for me, but I do other avenues. I do more guerrilla marketing. So it's more, you know, getting my logo out there, getting that brand out there, and I'm pulling business that way.
And that probably works too with the clients that you're trying to attract. And, you know, networking is super powerful. And really, when you're in a business to business, you know, industry, it's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. And if we can have a face to face, then we can definitely establish a relationship, which is in that case, probably more powerful than seeing a Facebook ad. So
exactly.
So you've probably found the secret sauce for you. So.
Well, and I also work with national clients that I have never met before in person.
Wow.
That I've had video conferencing with, you know, conversations that way. So we're in a new age. So networking has gone to a new level now, too.
I know. It's so crazy. And it's like, it seems like people know you online. And then when you meet them in person, it's like, oh, my God, this is so strange. Like, we know each other, but we don't know each other. So it's a very, very a crazy experience. And I'm sure you know that, too. And but, yeah, I guess you can talk to anyone anywhere on the planet and feel like you're friends. Mm. And you can probably spend your entire life never even meeting that person ever in person and think that you're super close, which is amazing. Mm. So is there anything else or
is there anything else we should have asked you or anything else you want to share with people or did we cover it all?
Oh, gosh.
Or if there's nothing else, maybe just tell people where they can find you if they're interested in maybe learning more about, you know, getting a good brand for themselves.
Yeah. So if anybody is interested in branding or even marketing, you know, building your brand, you can visit my website at, you know, www.bella-designs.biz, B-I-Z.
Okay.
And even on my website, I have samples of work and even samples of my fine artwork, too.
Yeah. And also in your Instagram, you have some examples of your fine art.
Yes.
And I don't know if you want people to go there. Maybe I'm just a creeper who like found you.
Now I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Okay. More of my Instagram is more of my fine artwork.
Okay. But, and then your website is where they can go see the logos that you've done and all of that stuff.
And my contact information. Okay.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us little people here. And
Thank you. I think you got a lot of great advice for people.
Yes. And this was a lot of fun. And hopefully you had a good time. And
I did. You guys are wonderful.
Thank you so much. And we had fun. And thank you again.
Thanks.
It's been a great 26th episode. We'd like to again thank Teresa Mundala for joining us today. Feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions or comments about anything we talked about today or marketing in general. You can visit us on our website, kickinitwithkpok.com, or on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as KPok Marketing. This has been Kickin' It with KPok, brought to you by KPok Marketing. Thanks for listening. We'll have something just as great for you next time.